Good evening, this is Chaim Cohn speaking. But this parsha is Parsha B'Shalach, the parsha of Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was the climax of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chazal say, Ruat Shivcha L'Yom Mashal Eroch, Cheskel ben Buzi miyomov. Cheskel ben Buzi had a nevuah, his prophecy was extraordinary. Although this prophecy was in Bovel, was in Chutzlort, which is not the place that nevuah usually was given, nevertheless, because of the challenges of Golus that Klal Yisrael experienced now for the first time, it was necessary that Yecheskel should witness, should see the Merkava, an extraordinary experience that he saw with his eyes, so to say, a gilui, a revelation, more than a revelation, it's something that is an extraordinary level of experience. But that was surpassed by the regular shifro, the regular maid, simple person. What she saw, what she actually experienced, is something that Yecheskel HaNovi never experienced. What does it mean? What was the purpose of it? There's a famous interpretation of the Kotzke Rebbe who said, "What a shifcha layom." She was still a shifcha. She stayed a maid, which means, in other words, that a person could see something extraordinary, but it doesn't really have effect on him. Unlike Yecheskel. Yecheskel was a novi. It had certainly a very, very profound effect on him. But the shifcha layom, she stayed a shifcha. So if this is the case, it's even more puzzling. What was the purpose of having a shifcha? A maid that after whatever she saw there, it won't make too much of an effect on her. What was the purpose that she should see that? In fact, the anticlimax of Kriyas Yamsuf is in the very end of our parsha. The end of the parsha is that our arch enemy, Amalek, is challenging Klal Yisrael, Vayovei Amalek. Vayovei Amalek. The famous halacha of the Chasam Sofer who said that if a person missed the Kriya on Purim, which is in Parshas Vayetze, you know they shouldn't be there 12 months. He did not have a Kriya of knowing what it's all about, you should listen to Vayovei Amalek. L'alocha also the Mogavon Paskens, that if a person listens to Vayovei Amalek in the morning, it's also something. If a person didn't listen to Parsha Zohar, Vayovei Amalek is good. As it should be, Vayovei Amalek is certainly here reminding us about this ever-going challenge. Amalek is our arch enemy. So here, just a little bit earlier, Klal Yisrael had the climax of an experience. Could you imagine? Kriyas Yamsuf. And then what comes after? It's Vayovei Amalek. So what was the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf if we have a Vayovei Amalek right after that? We have to go back here to Parsha Shmos. We know that in Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the first time that he meets, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. It seems to be that having a conversation, so to say, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't overwhelming to him. He was able to argue, so to say, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for quite a bit of time, back and forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, "I want you to go to Mitzrayim and finally redeem Klal Yisrael from the Golus. Moshe Rabbeinu argues. And we don't understand why would he do that. I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do it, probably HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make a mistake in who he chose to be the messenger here, and who to be the goyel. So why in the world would he not want to do it? Until Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yicharaf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, uses the midah of us, of rage, to tell him that you must do it. No more conversations about it, no more arguing about it, no more challenging it, you must do it. Fine? So once that happens, Moshe Rabbeinu concedes and accepts it. And we need to understand the thinking of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was it here that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Oyv Yisrael. He was Moshe Nefesh himself for Klal Yisrael. It's famous, as we know, even after the Chet HaEgel. Could you imagine the disappointment Moshe Rabbeinu had after he brought Klal Yisrael to such a high madrege of Kabbalah Satorah, and comes down 40 days later on, and he finds him in such a matzav, in such a bilbul hamoyach, completely confused, doing something which Chazal kol avodah zarah, whatever there should be. But nevertheless, you know, he's doing what he has to do, to carry on, and he takes the mantle, and he leads Klal Yisrael until when? Until before entering Eretz Yisrael. From all people, the person who deserved most to enter the Yisrael was Moshe Rabbeinu. And here, he is told, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know Moshe, you stay here. Somebody else is going to take Klal Yisrael into the Yisrael. Who is it going to be? No, not one of your sons. None of your descendants. It will be Yeshua. Yeshua Na'a. He is going to be the one to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well that if he's taking Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, there will be no more goals. And the disappointment altogether from the very beginning on, he could really now have said, in retrospect, wasn't I, Moshe, right? I didn't want to go. It seems to be I'm not appropriate leader for all of this. If he can't take out Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, seems to be major disappointment. But the Torah doesn't say anything about it. Voice Chanon, true. He begged. And he begged even Matas Chinon, as Chazal say, you know, not because I deserve it or anything of this sort. Chas v'sholom, no. Matas Chinon, please. Give it to me just because you want to bestow me this tremendous favor. So he wasn't upset. In other words, as you would say to in today's English, he was in sync with that. Totally agreed. No problem. I understand what's going on here. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm coming to terms. I will not enter the soil. That's the right way to do. And I have no kashes. I have no kashes here. What happened? What happened at the very beginning and how did it enter? So there's another part of this puzzle. Another part of this parsha. You see, in the previous parsha, Parsha Boy, we have three makis. The mak of Arbe, the mak of Choshech, and finally we have the mak of Makis Bechoros. In the mak of Arbe, it doesn't say anywhere that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to use this as a market to on Paro in Mitzrayim. So, where did Moshe get it from? So we have to say, the Torah doesn't record it, but in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu probably told him so. Moshe Rabbeinu could come on his own and say, I'm giving the market of Arve. But it's not so simple. You see, there's a fascinating Chizkuni, which you could look up if you wish you later on, no reason. Capital Yud, on Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk says, Vayivu Moshe v'Aharon el Paro v'yoymru Eilof, Moshe and Aharon came to Paro and told him, Koyomar Hashem Elokei Ivrim. Ad Motza Me'anto, Le'onois Mifonai, Shlach HaMevi Avdoni. Koyomar Hashem, send my people. Because if you don't do that, if you deny my people to leave, if you don't send them out, then I'm going to bring this Arbe into the boundaries of your country. That's all Koyomar Hashem. Koyomar Hashem. So maybe it's us here, right? Koyomar Hashem, okay, so although he doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe Rabbeinu, but obviously if Moshe Rabbeinu tells it to power, so then Koyomar Hashem. But if you look into Chizkuni, it says something very interesting from the Kadmoinim. Koyomar Hashem. Bezei Aloshon says the Chizkuni. Kame nevuos u'mitzvos lo nisparet sheichen omon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find it numerous times in the Torah that we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu what to do, what not to do. Kegoin, makas arbe, like here, that you just mentioned. In other words, the Mechizkuni says, yeah, you're right. He doesn't say anywhere here that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to do so. Kegoin, furthermore, what happened, makas bechoyrus, what was the timing, the famous timing? Kechatzos alaylo. Kechatzos alaylo. Yes, he told Yitzhak to them, kechatzos alaylo, about. And really it happened, Bechatzi Alaylo. So Rashi already comments famously that he didn't want to tell them the exact time of Bechatzois, which is a subject in its own right to discuss. But it's just, as it says here, Kechatzois Alaylo. Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't say where he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him the timing of Kechatzois Alaylo. But he said it, Kechatzois Alaylo. Ukegoin simu ish harbo yali reichoi, the eagle, when he said over there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came on his own and started here to eliminate all those people who worship the eagle. Ukegoin zoi tzchukas ha-toru de parashas paro ha-adumo. Could you imagine? Zoi tzchukas ha-toru de parashas paro ha-adumo, which is the taharon shel Yisrael, the purification, that matter of purification, this is zoi tzchukas ha-toru. Koyomar Hashem. כגון זה הדובר השציב השם לפרש הסדורים, זה הדובר. וכן הרבה שאר נביאים אומרו כמה פה במקוי אמר השם. הם רוצים פיינד את אוסר בעד הנביאים, the same, the same lotion. ולא הפיר שכן אמרו הקדוש ברוך הוא, he doesn't say earlier that the קדוש ברוך הוא told it to them, that they are saying, קוי אמר השם. מויש רבנו, עד הנביאים, they are saying, קוי אמר השם. When did Hashem tell you that? Sezach Eskuni, ועל זה נאמר מקים דבר עבדוי. Which means, in other words, that the initiation for this, whatever was done here, didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It came from the Novi, it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to say, he was the one, if you permitted to use this term, innovated. He created the Makkah of Arbe. So to say, he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Arbe. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechatzos HaLaylo. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zoyis Chukas HaTorah of Paro Adumo. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh Adov HaShativ HaShem of Parashas Nedorim. What does that mean? Make him Dvar Avdoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts Dvar Avdoi. Or he exercises, brings it into fruition, into Halacha Lemaaseh, the making of Avdoi. How could we understand it? In fact, many generations after the Chizkuni, one of the greatest Rebbeim, the Rebbe Bunim of Shishchi, said exactly the same on Makkas Arbe. But just to understand, what does that mean? I mean, we believe in Torah Moshe, we believe that one of the one of the principles that we have of Yud Gimel, of the principles of belief that we have, Ikre Emuna. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Rabbeinu Bashem, Moshe Avdoi. But Rabbeinu Bashem, and then Moshe Avdoi. So what it says here is something fascinating, and eventually we are going to see also very uplifting for us. Namely, it says, Vaminu Bashem v'Moshe Avdoi. Here we have Moshe defined as the Eved Hashem. What is an Eved? An Eved, a slave, so to say, not in a negative sense here, but in a positive way, an Eved does not have his own identity. His identity is of his masters. Now, if you're talking about a master of Boss of Adam and Odoin of Boss of Adam, it's one thing. But what happens if the Odoin that we are talking about is not a human being? It's like a Zivoch Bichvoid of Yatzmoy. Hashem is Borach, he's him. He is him. V'aminu b'Hashem, the remuna was that, yes, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the belief was that Moshe Avdoi, that whatever Moshe says is in fact what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. And not because they heard how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe, because Moshe would never say something which is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. In other words, the mind, the whole inner makeup, the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu was a kind that was completely inherent, so to say, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He would not be able to utter, to say anything which is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. He would not be able to think, even a machshava kala, even something slightly in his mind, that is not the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if it crossed his mind, now needs to be Makas Arbe. It was because his mind thought exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to think, and he knew that. If he said Zois Chukas HaTorah, so then he had formulated in his mind this mitzvah of Zois Chukas HaTorah. Why? How? Because his identity was completely, absolutely Ani Hashem. Let me illustrate it with you. Let me illustrate it to you with a famous story. It says, there was one of the great Talmidim of the Mezrich Magid. Some say it was the Balatanya, others say it was another one. It doesn't matter really who it was. The Ikka is the bottom line of this story. At once, he wasn't by his Rebbe, but he felt a very close connection and he wanted really to come over to him and to discuss whatever he wanted to discuss and avoid the Hashem. She came over and knocked on the door. The Rebbe inside asked, who is outside? So he said, Ani, it's me. So the Mevruch HaMagid told him, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem. What does it mean? What is he telling? The Ani is Hashem. What does it mean? Well, what he told him was as follows. You are looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're looking because there is a tremendous spiritual desire. Let me tell you. Your Ani, your identity is Hashem. What does it mean? It means that there's a godly quality within the human being which is completely pure. He just does not always detect it. He does not always recognize it. But what really you are is not your nose, not your eyes, not your ears, not your physical body, not even your machshava, which is not tangible. Your very essence, your being, is Ani Hashem. And therefore, if a person passes on to Olam HaEmes, then he comes
together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is together with Him. I will share with you an unbelievable story that just happened a few weeks ago with a little boy of 8 years of age, which just tells us something about his education, about what he is. And now we have this COVID thing, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall protect all of us. So his grandfather took ill, very ill, but in danger of life. Said his little boy to his mother, "You know, I really don't want Zaidi to pass on. But if it has to happen, I wish it should happen in sleep without pain. And then to be with Hashem." And then to be with Hashem. Because then he is himself. That's what I'm saying. But what this little boy understood naturally is really the truth. Ani, what is my Ani? My Ani is Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we really don't recognize it, realize it, internalize it, it should be. The difficulties, the challenges of Golus took a very different sensitivity. But Nevi'im, and for sure, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Avdi, Eved Hashem, who his whole identity was Ani Hashem, wasn't able to utter a word which wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. He wasn't able to think anything which is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's come back to the argument that Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he didn't want to go. What was his argument all about? You see, if there are two sides, if Reuven and Shimon have an argument, so Reuven is not Shimon and Shimon is not Reuven. They're two different people. No, like two people are like the famous Chazal say, the Shem Shepard of Fame Shoinus, the complexion of the face is different. They are Fame Shoinus, think differently. People think different. That's what we are. So if two people argue, obviously, because everybody comes from the way how he understands it. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he understood very well, Moshe, that it meant that he has to go there as the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only to say Hashem's words, but he should function completely in within the fashion, the modus operandi of Eved Hashem. There cannot be, so to say, a dialogue back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do so. He was not yet convinced that he's at this point that he's able to do so completely. If there are dialogue, if there is another side, it cannot be. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him and tells him, "I want you to argue on behalf," which happens later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu argued on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do, like all tzaddikim. But here, as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him, be'af, when he told him, kevyochu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the middle of af, which means, I completely take over of you. You don't have your own identity anymore. You now turn it to be my Eved. You became, so to say, a person whose complete and absolute identity is Hashem. Then he became the person who could come to Paro, face him, and tell him what he had to say, because whatever he thought, whatever came through his mind and his mouth, was completely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make it easier for Paro to listen to it, so to say. You needed an intermediary, which was Aaron. But that's a separate story. Now, you see, when we talk about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in principle, had the same quality like Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know? When Klal Yisrael was Mekabel Torah, when they accepted Torah, it says that the Mekabel Torah ki ish echot belev echot, which meant to say that everybody who was standing there, from top to the bottom, from Moshe Rabbeinu on to the little boy over there, everybody, anybody, ki ish echot belev echot, there was absolutely no separation between the people, different people. It was like a one body, a wholesome body, with many bones, limbs, and everything that makes a which makes a wholesome body. But ki ish echot belev echot, everybody and anybody at this point was able to say, who is the ani? Who is my ani? What's my identity? Who am I? Everybody said the same like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Eved Hashem. At this point. Even the Shifra Layom said the same too. Even the Shifra Layom by Martin Ter was able to say exactly the same. How come? I was able to do that. You see, if there is in life sometimes an experience that is an eye-opener, that leaves an impression on the person, an everlasting impression, although it doesn't really change him, but he knows it exists. If that happens, it already turns his potential into what he sees. If you see that, you're able to recognize it, you're able to realize it. That means, in other words, that you have this potential. The Shifcha Layom has the potential to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a fashion, in a way, more than Yechezkel. More than Yechezkel. And therefore, she was a person that, if there would be another person, another one, much greater than her, who is able to uplift her, to bring her back to that experience, even for a period of time, she will be able to do that. That's what happened to Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu brought all of Klal Yisrael to a point, Kishar Velei Vechot, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu precisely like Moshe Rabbeinu had it in his Madrega. Every bone, every person was part of this body, was able to say, Ani, who is my Ani? Hashem. Who is my identity? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, we are going to understand something fascinating. You see, in our fashion, Bishalach, there's something else here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him into the desert, brought him to the Midbar. A desolate place. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Now it came about that all of a sudden food was raining from the heavens. This was the Simon. What does it say over there? In the beginning of the Parsha it says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu what will be is that the attack is going to come down and also Hashem told him that it will be that they will have, for Shabbos, they're going to have a double portion on Friday. And so it's having potluck. It says earlier, V'yomer Hashem el Moshe, it's in Pasuk Dalet, in Kapitel Tezayin, Hinimamti lachem lechem el Hashemayim, V'yotzo om v'lotzo dvar yom v'yom ben. So I'm going to ring this lechem in Hashemayim, and people are going to pick it up every day. And man and Hashem, that's not where I'm going to focus now for the moment. But then it says in Pasuk Hey, V'hoi b'yom ha'shishi v'yichinu et asher yoviyu, v'yom mishna l'asher ilkitu yom yom. On Friday they're going to have double. It doesn't say anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael about it. Only later on, when it came to it, on Friday, so then, Vital Shichvat Avin, sorry, Posuk Tesvov, a year of Neisrael, Vayom Rishaloch Yvmonu, Kaloyodumar, so gave it a name, and told him, okay, you know, you take it what you need for the daily, for the daily portion, daily ration, whatever you need. Piyasuchim b'nei Yisrael. And then, v'ahi b'yom ha-shishi, loftu lechem mishne. Shnei yoyim aloyachot. V'shishi, all of a sudden, a double portion rained down. Then they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens to that? V'yomer aleim, mu asher dibar Hashem shabosen, shabos kodesh l'Hashem mochor. Oh, you see? That's exactly what Kodesh Baruch Hu told me, namely, tomorrow is Shabbat, and therefore you have double. And then he told him how to handle this whole man. Why didn't Moshe tell him earlier? Why didn't Moshe tell him, you should know, expect every day regular portion, come to Friday, Mitzvah Hashem, you're going to have a double portion. They needed to come out, see the double portion, come and say, what is this all about? Said the Rechaim HaKodesh, something unbelievable. The Chaim HaKodesh says that Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to realize and recognize and understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants with this double portion on their own. Namely, exactly what we just were saying about the Nevi'im, about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Said the Chaim HaKodesh about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they themselves should have realized and recognized that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message about Shabbos. To bring them up to a point where they understand on their own what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is. I mean, in a life like ours, living in this kind of golos that we have, in this kind of timtum amoichim, you know, very difficult to relate even to such a concept. But that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted them to be. This was all the preparation for Kabbalah Sator, where this exactly happened to be. And I will tell you what it means that this was exactly what happened in Kabbalah Sator. Namely, to understand exactly Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. You see, Medrash teaches us that there was a major difference between the Luchos HaRishonos and the Luchos HaAchronos. What was the difference? The Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh. Right? The written law, the Torah Shebichsav, and then the Torah Shebalpeh. In Luchos HaRishonos, there was no Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah Shebalpeh says the marriage only came about in Luchos HaAchronos. The second one. After Chet HaRegel. But how in the world were they able to understand all the details of any mitzvah from Luchos HaRishonos, B'Torah Shebichsav only? No, it's a telegram style. It only tells you the headlines. It doesn't tell you any detail and explanation how to handle it. It doesn't say what tefillin means. I mean, it says there's such a thing like tefillin. It doesn't say such a thing. It says Shabbos. But it doesn't say what exactly are Labbites Melochos. All the details of all the halachas is not mentioned there. So how in the world were they supposed to understand it? Well, the answer is simple, so to say. Did anybody teach a baby how to breathe? When it develops, to become more mature, did anybody teach it how to walk, how to speak? Or do anything. The physical body does everything which is natural to it. And nobody has to teach it. If Chas V'Shalom, a person has an injury and to have now rehab, we know how difficult it is. Somebody has a hip surgery and now he learns again how to walk. Now I don't have to tell you. It's difficult. But came natural to the baby, to the boy, to the girl, when he grew up, to the child, different story. If you do it on our own, it's a completely different story. We'll be able to understand any mitzvah if not Yoshe Barpe. No. Why? Because our ruchnis is not natural. Our neshama is not revealing itself to us in its natural way. In that sense, we're like invalids. And we need to be taught. Then we have. In the concept, we have to understand the mitzvah. Chet Ve'egel calls it. If in Lugas HaRishonis, Ki'ish Echot, Belev Echot, they were physically and also in the neshama, not also, in the neshama in particular, complete, without any blemish, naturally, when you say Teitofois Tfilin with all the Prota Mitzvah, Tzitzis with all the Prota Mitzvah, because I'm like people breathing. It was natural for them to breathe. It was natural for them to understand what Tfilin is all about. Shabbat, no problem. Just came natural. The Machshavos of the people were thinking precisely what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to think, naturally. Moshe Avdoi, the same story, the same concept. Exactly the same. But Chet Ve'egel was a major injury. Now they were in rehab. And we are still in rehab. That's what we are all about. So therefore we have Torah Sheva Peh. And this was a process. You know, in the beginning, Torah Sheva Peh didn't need so much explanation. Today we need much more explanation because we need more rehab. And therefore so many Sforim. Because we don't understand it naturally. What the Amoraim Tanoim understood naturally and just said it in a telegram style, you know, we need explanations. What the generation ago was self-understood, we need explanation because it's not natural. And therefore, you know, we need to have the climax of Kriyas Yam Suf and then to show us what a mother could do to us, and then Moshe Rabbeinu pulling up his again. So how we understand the challenge of Golos? So I will conclude with a fascinating insight of the father of David Nezer, Rabbi Zev Nochum, the Bialarov, who wrote a sefer, famous sefer, Agudas Ezreif. His grandchild, Hashem Shmuel, the son of David Nezer, quotes it in his name. So in a few weeks, Mr. Hashem, we are going to have the Seder. You might remember it, because it's a fascinating concept that he explained it here. To say it in short, in the night of Pesach, what we have, now that we don't have the Korban Pesach, so we eat the Matzah first, then we eat the Maror, then we eat the Fekobe, which is Matzah again. Matzah, we know, corresponds to freedom. Many explain it this way. One explanation, the Maral like this. Matzah, you know, is, yes, it's lechemoini, but it also it symbolizes the freedom of Eden. When they left me trying, they were 8 months. 8 months. Okay. So that matzah, wonderful. Lacht of Pesach, we were redeemed. There was a gula there. But then we eat more. No more, everybody understands. Mitzibut, the slavery. But, you know, we should really have the more first and then the matter, because first was the slavery, and we were redeemed from the slavery. So we should have first more and then matter. And then we don't understand altogether. After we eat the more, we had a second time a matter. What is this all about? Second redemption? What is this here? So we tell you what he's saying. We try in these few minutes that we have to explain it. So it should be memorized. It said as follows. In the Melachos of Shabbos, as we know very well, one of the Melachos is the Melach of Chaitzor. You're not permitted to carry out Chaitzor, to carry out from one domain to another domain. From Rosh Hashanah, for example, which is a private domain, into Rosh Hashanah, which is a public domain. What is the character of the mitzvah? I mean, it was not character, but what is how does it come about that it should be considered a melacha? If you pick up from one domain, like you pick it up in Rishus HaYochid, and then you put it down in the other Rishus, right? Which first you made the Akira, you took it off, and then you put it down in the other, which is called Hanocha, then you have a Rid Melacha. So we have two parts for it. We have one part is picking it up, taking it away from where it was, and putting it then somewhere else. If you just pick it up and you don't put it somewhere else, it's not a melacha. It's only chatzim melacha. Maybe chatzim melacha. But it's certainly not a complete melacha. In order to have it a melacha, it needs to be akira and tanocha. Said the Aguda Fezoi, said Reb Zev Nochum, the Vialarov said, well, it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from Mitzrayim. That's true. That was Akira. It took us out from one domain. But it didn't put us in another domain, the right domain, where it should be. From which domain did it pick us up? So listen to me. He said as follows. What was Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim, he said, was a Rishus HaRabim. For the public place. What means a public place? I will tell you what a public place means. A public place means where everybody is there. People are not there on their own. There's no privacy. People don't identify themselves with themselves because they're part of a public. They're influenced by everybody and anything. Complete confusion. There's no own identity. No own identity. That's what the goddess of Mitzrayim was all about. They were not themselves. They were part of Rishus HaRabim. You know, I always say, we live in a constant Rishus HaRabim. In the media that we have today, they're not our own. They've been brainwashed constantly. We're not seeing at all our own identity. We're Rishus HaRabim. That's the goddess of Mitzrayim. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked us up and took us into the desert. So in the desert, they were themselves. Not together with anybody else. Just Klal Yisrael on their own. Everybody was able to find his own identity. If he would have stayed like this, there would have been a Hanocha. There would have been in that Rishus that we need to be. But it didn't happen. But Chet Regel, we came back to the Rishus HaRabim. That's the Moror. That's the Shibut. We are enslaved constantly by other forces, other influences, which are foreign, which take away our own identity. So therefore we need a matzah again, the afikoyim. When we say halel, so we hope and pray for the gula to be, because that will bring us into right and the correct Rishus HaYochid. So that is Baruch, help us. Reiz Hashem is Baruch. That there should be another Hanocha, having been taken out from Mitzrayim, and bring us to the Gula Shleimo, Ben Gerev, Amen. Thank you.